This is Steve Sherlock on another Franklin Matters radio show, number 459 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, February 9, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a virtual format. All of the school committee members, central office personnel, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the just over 2 hour and 20 minute meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Annie Sullivan presentation, approximately 41 minutes. The second, covering the discussion action items, specifically referred to the Davis Thayer closing discussion and vote, approximately 43 minutes. The third, from the discussion only items through to the end of the meeting, approximately 59 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold all the other documents released for this meeting. And note, as we go to press, the superintendent's report nor the pool testing outline are yet posted to the school's website. We anticipate that to be soon, but it's not here as we go to press. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of February 9, 2021.
All right, Dr. Hearn, moving right along, discussion action items.
Sure, thank you, Dr. Bergen. On your agenda, there is a discussion action item related to the retirement of the Davis Thayer Elementary School. So I am going to frame the discussion, which comes to you from many months, going back to September of 2019, where I had put forward a recommendation that the school committee, pursuant to your policy, study the school for closure for a couple of different reasons, one being enrollment reduction, one being the age of the facility, and some limitations with respect to the building, and then also financial efficiency. So this is the culmination of the work of the Facilities Analysis Subcommittee, and Elise Stokes has been the chair of the subcommittee and has a report to share with you regarding their findings. So I'll turn it over to Elise.
Thank you. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Anne, I'll look at you. If you can't hear me, give me.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so Dr. Hearn got us started off. I'm going to go through the report section by section. So the way the report started was with that recommendation that the superintendent gave in September 2019 to recommend a comprehensive closing study be conducted for the Davis Thayer Elementary School building, and the previous school committee approved that recommendation. So our ad hoc Davis Thayer Facilities Analysis Subcommittee was established in November 2019 and has worked diligently to complete the closing study as specified in the policy FCB, which is retirement of facilities. So at the end of every section, I'll just stop and ask MJ or Judy, do you have anything you want to add or share about this section? I know it was a short one, just in case I left anything out. MJ, Judy?
Exactly the way that it was started. Thank you.
Right.
Okay. And just any, and I'm just going to jump in with any committee members. If on any section, if just raise your hand, committee members, if you wanted to comment on that particular section. And then we'll keep moving along if you do. Okay. Go ahead, Elise.
Okay. So the next section talks about our process, which if you've been following along, I say the word process if I had a penny for every time. So our subcommittee created a visual to guide our process in accordance with the requirements detailed in the policy. We strictly adhered to our process. We constantly reviewed our progress, both at subcommittee meetings and our full school committee meetings. I'm not going to share the visual here, but we've talked about it many a time, and today we would be on stage three, which is when the school committee makes the decision based on one of our options. MJ or Judy, anything to share on that one?
Nope. Any committee members on that section? Don't see anybody. Okay, keep going, Elise.
They've heard so much about the process,
yes.
They don't care about it anymore. The next section in the report is information gathering. So this is a summary of all the information we gathered during our stage one. So So in stage one, phase one of our process, we centered around gathering information from independent sources. As a subcommittee, we reviewed and discussed the 2019 McKibben demographic enrollment forecast, the 2013 KBA DT facility report, and the 2020 KBA facilities assessment report. McKibben and KBA also presented and discussed their findings at school committee meetings. A couple notable takeaways on those reports are that McKibben, though he only went back to FY17, but if we look back to the district's highest enrollment, which was FY09, elementary enrollment then was about 2,900, and this year it's about 1,900, which means we're currently serving about a third less students in essentially the same six schools. His forecast results show our enrollment continuing to decrease over the next 5 years. In the next 6 to 10 years, he forecasts it will increase slightly, but in FY30, he forecasts it's still about 900 elementary students less than in FY9. The 2013 KBA report provided an estimate to renovate DT, which came with a price tag of $22.4 million. And an estimate to rebuild a school on the DT site came with a price tag of $28.8 million. The 2020 KBA report recommends that to optimize functional capacity, FPS should close one or two elementary schools now and work to develop a master facilities plan to address other needs in the district. So in information gathering stage one, phase two, we focused on gathering stakeholder and district information. We heard a variety of perspectives through survey results, emails, citizens' comments, as well as participation during our community information sessions. Through these avenues, we heard from various stakeholders, which included DT families, DT staff, other FPS families, other FPS staff, and community members. Though we didn't rely on these opinions to make our final decision, the stakeholder participation provided a rich assortment of perspectives on many topics, which helped us identify recurring themes and added to the factors that we considered. I expect that the information people shared will also be helpful continually moving forward. The final pieces of information we gathered in stage one, phase two, were financial and educational programming considerations, which were presented by the district and included enrollment, staffing, other cost savings, transportation, building cost history, continuity of instructional and community programs, pandemic considerations related to physical distancing, and considerations for Keller and Sullivan and the district map. We also discussed possible alternative educational uses of the building. So that's it for the information gathering section. MJ or Judy, anything I left out there that you want to add?
No.
All set. Committee members, anything? Any questions on that section? All set. Okay, go ahead, Elise.
Okay. The next section, stakeholder communication. We made it a priority to communicate in a variety of ways with both the Davis Fair community as well as the greater Franklin Public Schools community throughout our process. The frequency and methods of communication were extensive, and many examples were listed in the report. So rather than list all the examples, because they're right there in report, I just figured I would say that. And then say, MJ or Judy, any thoughts on that section? Anything to add?
No.
Committee members? Anyone else on the committee? All set. Okay, go ahead, Elise.
Okay. So evaluation of options, that was stage two. We reviewed five options and took time to discuss them together at a few meetings. Then each subcommittee member spent time on their own to consider all the information gathered during our process, independently evaluate pros and cons of each option, and then select one or two options that they believed were best for our Franklin community. The recommendation to close DT in FY22 was independently selected by each of the subcommittee members and supported by the administration. MJ or Judy, anything else on that section?
All set.
Any committee members on that section? No.
Okay.
Go ahead, Elise.
Last but not least, recommendation. After completing a comprehensive closing study for the Davis-Thayer School, the Ad Hoc Facilities Analysis Subcommittee recommends that the DT facility be closed for FY22. Our second recommendation is that the Franklin School Committee establish a subcommittee focused on creating a master facilities plan to address other facility needs in the district. So that's the end of the report. MJ or Judy, anything to add about that last piece? Or any
of well presented.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elise.
Anyone else, committee? No. Okay, Elise, all set.
Yep. Thank you.
All set. Excellent. Dr. Hearn.
Okay. Thank you, Elise, for presenting your report. Based on the recommendation from the subcommittee, I recommend approval of the retirement or closing of the Davis-Thayer Elementary School for FY22 as discussed.
Okay. I would ask for a motion to recommend approval of the retirement of the Davis-Thayer Elementary School as discussed. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. At this point, we open for discussion before we take any vote, and I'm just going to go through the committee members, and again we'll have plenty of opportunity to go through. I'll start with Jen.
No, I don't have any questions. I just thank you to the subcommittee for the work that you put in and for upholding a process through this whole time, and I think that you did an excellent job engaging all stakeholders and making the final recommendation to the full committee. So for that, I thank you.
Tim.
I do have some questions.
Sure.
First, thanks for the subcommittee. I think you guys did a really great job with a topic that is obviously highly sensitive across the community, and rightfully so. I think you came up with the two recommendations that you're making are strongly closing the school as well as developing the master facilities plan. I would like to say that in addition to the report that was created and the process along the way, we've received as a school, I was not on the subcommittee, and we've received a lot of emails from educators and community members, families that are from DT. I read everyone that came to the school committee, so I know there's some different thoughts, and I'm assuming we're going to hear some of those this evening. But I know there's some different thoughts that they have compared to what was in the report. Well, just one quick note on that. Like, what I would say is, if there are some folks from DT, educators or families, that are going to speak and advocate for keeping Davis-Thayer open, what I feel like I have not seen anywhere is among those who are advocating for keeping the school open, what is the reasonable path forward to bring the school up to where it needs to be in terms of meeting the standards in some sort of an efficient manner? I've heard that there's people who would love to keep it open, but what I haven't really heard, and if people are going to advocate for wanting to keep it open, I'd love to just hear some thoughts on what that path would be, because I haven't seen or heard of that. So all that said, it seems like that is a major part of what the findings were, is that the school is just not in a position where it's able to meet the standards that exist right now for educational experiences. And that seems like it's only going to degrade over time. And that we have a need for a broader facilities plan. So the question that I have is just related to timing. It feels like if the school needs to close, I can see arguments for trying to close it in this upcoming year. I can also see rationale for indicating that closure is needed, but maybe have that happen a year from now. And I wonder if that's something that should or could be considered. And I just ask the question to other committee members, if I guess where I get stuck, it is the strong recommendation to have the master facilities plan. And if that's a need, and we've indicated that Davis-Thayer, there's a need for that to close, would additional time help with the building of a master facilities plan? So that could be some rationale for just kind of like putting, you know, having that closure happen at a future point. And then the second thing is related to, and part of this is related to some of the community comments that we've read, is we're so focused right now on trying to get kids back into school in general. And if there's there's going to be a need to do some sufficient, like a lot of effort to do planning in order to get the Davis Thayer community moved. And so personally, I just wonder, like, is the timing right? I would rather have any planning resources that are available. I would rather have those planning resources focused on what we're facing today. Now, if there's planning resources that are available to do multiple things, maybe, but I would hate to, not hate, I would I would rather have somebody focus on how do we get kids back in school and plan for contingencies if the COVID period is extending into next school year, and have all planning focused on that. And then once we're past, then can we shift to plan for transitioning Thayer families to a new school. So that's just a thought, my own personal thoughts. I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Tim, one of the things I would ask is, as a committee, I mean, if what we can do, and certainly because we want to make sure that every committee's viewpoint has an option to be discussed, I guess I would ask if you would like to make what we would call sort of a primary amendment to the main motion and put that up for discussion. What that would involve is that we as a committee would vote only to put that on as an amendment to be discussed. And then we would discuss it and vote on the particular amendment. And then if that is not voted on, we would go back to the main motion that was first provided. So if that's something that you would like to put forward, we can entertain a motion to have that put on as an amendment for discussion and a vote, if that's what you would like to see happen. That's sure. Certainly within your right to do that.
Okay, so the amendment that I would propose would be to split the recommendation into two
pieces. Point of order. The rest of the school committee has not had their opening to speak yet. This amendment to the motion could come after everybody else has had their right to speak and their questions to be asked. I don't think we're ready to vote on this motion at this point in time. So the amendment can come after every school committee member has a right to say what they think.
You can help me with this, and just sort of reviewing the way the process works. It's my understanding that after the main motion is made, that if someone wanted to consider changing that main motion before we have the discussion, there is the option to change the wording of it. But it has to be voted on before we even consider it. That motion would have to be voted on.
I agree. After every school committee member has their same right to speak as Tim has had to speak.
No, that will still be there. All we would be doing is voting on...
Again, you should not be voting on this amendment until everyone has had their right to speak. You should be not making this amendment until everyone has had their right to speak.
I don't know, Sarah, if you can help with that particular thing, because the interpretation of when I looked at Robert's rules was that is the way that a primary amendment is made, and then that gives a chance, and then all that vote would be an opportunity to discuss that particular change in wording if we wanted to consider that.
I think they're both valid in terms of a school committee member being able to put forward an amended motion, but I think there is often an opportunity. I think there's also a point related to each school committee member participating in the discussion, okay, and having their questions, yeah, addressed.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. How about, okay, this makes sense then, just in interpreting, and I think this makes sense, is we have the discussion because the only thing that is on the board now is to, the motion is to close, and that would be what we would discuss. And then if there is a discussion to, in terms of the timing of closing, that could be a different part of what's discussed. So at this point then, we have a motion. Does that sound okay to everybody? We do the motion and the second on what Sarah has said. We have that discussion first, as Judy had suggested. That makes sense. Does that sound good to people?
You already have it.
That makes sense.
Okay, good. Very good. So let's do it that way then. We have a motion and a second, and let's talk about the motion. And Sarah, I just want to make sure that we have the motion that we're discussing is approval of the retirement of the Davis Thayer Elementary School as discussed. So this motion includes the full recommendation of the ad hoc analysis committee.
So this motion as worded does talk about a time frame of FY22.
Okay, so let's at least let's talk about that and hear from everybody in terms of that particular motion. We'll start with Jen.
We already did this, Anne, so it picks up with Judy. We already
I'm sorry Jen, I'm just trying, I get it. Okay, just if I didn't know. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if there's some questions from Tim's comments that should be answered.
I'm not going to speak until everyone has a chance to speak. We all should be afforded the same opportunity based on the original motions.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry, Sarah, I didn't hear what you just said.
So I want to be sure that, you know, Tim, if there are questions in there, that the questions get addressed versus comments. And so I guess I'm asking Chair, if you'd like me to address anything that came up in Tim's.
Yeah, I mean, that would, before we go further, that would be good, Sarah. Yeah, if you want to address what he said, yeah.
So I think, well, maybe we should wait for everybody to have a say and then we'll.
Okay, that sounds good. All right.
I'm noting the questions.
Okay, so we have a motion, a second, and Jen already spoke. Tim, on that particular one, anything else you would like to add on that on the original motion?
No. I'm absolutely welcoming and looking forward to hearing from other school committee members.
Okay, Judy, any comments?
It was an excellent report. There was a lot of time and effort put into it, and the decision of the committee was unanimous. Thank you. No questions on that, on the motion.
Sure. MJ?
I do not have any questions on the motion. As Judy said, the recommendation from the subcommittee was unanimous.
Yep.
And, you know, nobody talked to anybody beforehand. We had no idea how the vote was going to go. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting that it was unanimous.
Yep. Denise.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So just before I start, I think it's important to note that my son is currently enrolled at Davis Thayer. When we moved to Franklin in 2017, my son adapted to his new school with no issues, and I'm not concerned that another possible transition would affect him. However, tonight I am not sitting here as a mom, but as an elected member of the Franklin School Committee, a role where I am charged with the responsibility of all students and staff in our community. This responsibility is not one I take lightly. The writing has been on the wall since September 2019. Closing Davis Thayer is the best financial decision for our town, as the repairs and upgrades are more than we can afford. The pandemic has undoubtedly affected every member of our community. The school community is no different. Because of the pandemic, there was a delay in receiving the facilities analysis report, which highlights issues with various buildings and underutilizations at each school. I do not believe there is enough time during a pandemic when our admin and staff are already past max capacity to come up with a thoughtful and detailed transition plan with input from those directly impacted by the change. part of the original transition plan discussed included allowing Davis Thayer students to tour Keller, have a meet and greet with staff, other students, and the admin team. Are these even still viable options given the restrictions imposed due to the pandemic? In order to ensure students and families in the Franklin School District have the best and most practical options, I believe redistricting is necessary. It is clear through all data received, this is something that must happen with this closure. It is irresponsible and short-sighted to ignore the need for redistricting. Many families who are currently at DT could walk to Parmenter, others have to drive through the Oak District to get to Keller. Handling this piecemeal will unquestionably leave a mess for the school committee several years down the road. Should families have to uproot their children to another school for a second or even third time because we aren't properly considering all of our options now? Is closing Davis Thayer this year and moving all students to Keller during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic the most thoughtful choice? We have a duty to our students and families to come up with a long-term plan to avoid the high social, emotional, and learning costs of moving students to different schools multiple times. Simply because we have no real long-term plan in place, closing Davis Thayer and moving children to Keller is essentially a Band-Aid. We should take the time to formulate a viable, practical, and better plan which best serves the students, families, teachers, and staff in the Franklin School District. Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Elise?
Yeah, so I guess I've spoken as the subcommittee chair for so long that I think it's also worth noting, as is Denise, I'm a DT parent, a DT mom, and this has been such an emotional issue for all of us on so many levels. And I've struggled with so many big emotions throughout this process. However, I always remind myself that we're elected officials and I owe it to our community to approach my school committee work with composure and a level head, which is why I write everything so that I know that I can be calm when I say it, because or else I'll get too emotional because it's tough. But I'm required to separate my role of DT mom from my role as school committee member. I'm required to make decisions that are best not for my own two kids, not for their friends or my friends, but what's best for the entire Franklin community. I'm required to make decisions based not on my emotion, but on objective information. I'm required to look beyond my personal connections to the DT building and make a decision for the greater good. I know we can't make everyone happy, and that's hard for me, but I know that's the way it is. All we can do is make the decisions that we think are best to support our community, and then we need to find ways to move forward together. And so, as MJ and Judy said, the recommendation from the subcommittee stands.
Thanks, Elise. I'm like you, Elise. I do a better job if I just write it down because I don't want to get emotional. So I just wanted just very briefly to say I fully support the recommendation of the facilities subcommittee for the exact three reasons that Dr. Hearn cited that contributed to her decision to recommend the closing study: the age and design of the building, the pandemic merely shined a light on the inequities, decreased enrollment across the district. The complexes are filled with room. There's plenty of room, particularly at Keller. That modern facility has large air-conditioned meeting spaces, a state-of-the-art library, large classrooms, large offices with windows, state-of-the-art bathrooms for kids and staff, project rooms, storage areas, gyms. And I know that people have said, and we've listened to every single concern that's come forward regarding space. Just looking at a little bit of the data, if you combine Davis Thayer and Keller kids just in fourth grade for next year, there'd be 19 in a class, 22 in the first grade. And then where there would be a transition, the other thing to think about is that these younger students would have the comfort and security of going to the same complex as their older siblings, that the older kids can even wait a little bit and walk their younger siblings home after school. Third, economic efficiency. It has to be a factor. For me personally, this year, I would rather see our precious funds not going for heating, electricity, maintenance, administration, but rather for
more counselors, special educators, integration specialists, for example, needed now more than ever. And having schools closing, we've closed them. The facilities, in terms of moving, it's they have a system in place. They've done it so many times. That's something that they do, and they do it with great care and respect. And then finally, just one other comment is if DT should be retired, it will continue to serve our community. There is a pledge from town leaders to preserve and protect that beautiful building and find necessary and important uses for it. Change is never easy, but I believe in the positive, resilient spirit of our families, staff, and most of all, our students. So that I had to write it down. I'm like Elise, because I get nervous if I don't say what I need to say. So with that in mind, any other committee members in terms of the original motion? Tim, is there at this point then, we have the original motion, do you wish to make a motion to amend the main motion, to be considered to amend the main motion? That could be either voted up or down.
Yeah, I think I'm tracking. So first, it was great to hear from everyone. And I think the motion that's tied to this is a great thing. And it's a really, it's a good data point. Like, it's a real data point that should be thought about. That said, if I would propose an amendment to be considered, which would be, could it possibly be split, the vote be split into two pieces? One, a recommendation to close Davis Thayer, first part. And then the second part would be a recommendation in regards to the specific timing being FY22. So that amendment could potentially allow us to vote on both pieces to see if there's agreement on one but not the other, or agreement on both. So that obviously is just a proposed amendment.
Okay, so let's see about wording a proposed, again, this is not a vote on the it's only a vote to consider and discuss that amendment. So
point of order, you have to have one amendment. If you're doing an amendment to do it in 2023, fiscal year 2023, that's an amendment.
Exactly.
You can't have it split in half, doing a full vote on to close it, and then the second vote to close it in a year.
Right, you're right. The only thing I'm suggesting, Judy, is that we put the amendment to consider delaying closing it, because the first motion already includes closing it. So just the amendment that Tim is suggesting, and it would be, if I can frame it correctly, the amendment would be written as let's see how we would word that particular one. Tim, figure out, put the wording of how you'd want to say that you would want us to consider.
It would be something along the lines of, I would recommend approval of a decision to close Davis Thayer School, period.
A decision to close Davis Thayer School at a different... The motion we already have is to close Davis Thayer School and to close it for this next fiscal year. That's the motion that's on the table. You want to amend it and close it for the following fiscal year. Is that correct?
If it needs to have a timing associated with it, otherwise I would say...
Just to close it with without any kind of a deadline on it, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Okay. So that's how it would be worded. So that's the motion on the table. Is there a second for us to consider that and have a discussion around Tim's viewpoint? Do we have a second for that motion? Is there a second?
Second.
And that's okay. So we have a motion and a second. So now at this point, we would have a discussion about delaying just having the motion to close it, so we would have a discussion on that. We have that. The question then is, we have a vote to consider that as amendment. We have a motion and a second. We need a roll call vote to say that we want to put that on the table for discussion. Jen?
No.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
No.
MJ?
No.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
No.
And Anne? No. So that we do not have enough votes to put that put that as a point to change the motion that exists. So that means then we would go back to, we do not have enough votes to carry that as a motion. Mm-hmm. So then we now go back to our main motion, which we have a first, we have the motion, we have a second, and we've had discussion. Is there any further discussion on the main motion that was placed when we started? Elise?
And so I think, as Sarah had said, there were some questions from Tim, and also I think Denise echoed them about the master facilities plan.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Elise. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was my understanding, and Sarah, I think you were taking notes, so you might have heard differently, is that it was like, or what I think is important when I was hearing the questions was something about timing of that, because that's, I know that's not something we can just do in, you know, 10 months or something. So I think that would be helpful if we could get those questions answered.
Sure. I did take some notes, and I think there's a couple of threads here. In terms of the master facilities plan, I think that the proposal that came forward from Castle Booz is pretty extensive and involves a pretty significant reorganization of the district. It's more than, in my opinion, it's more than redistricting. It's a fundamental shift and a fundamental change in how students flow through their elementary, middle, and high school experience, with a huge policy question related to consolidating to one middle school, if that's the direction that the school committee would want to go. So I see the master facilities plan taking some time and potentially involving, according to the KBA report, also potentially involving building projects. And you've got two standalone schools that, in addition to Davis there, that warrant attention. But closing three schools is not really going to be feasible from a capacity piece. And to get into the pipeline for MSBA to get into a facilities building project takes years. And so I think there's a lot of groundwork to be done. And so that's why, that's one of the reasons why this, in the conversation with the facility subcommittee and some of the presentations that Miriam and I put forward, we separated the two out, is because I think the master facilities plan is more than kind of a redistricting piece for our elementary schools. I think it's just more fundamentally, a bigger fundamental shift, given just the extensive enrollment that's decreasing and the future enrollment decrease, particularly at the middle level and then at the high school at the end of the decade. So that's that part. I think the other piece around timing, Tim, that you had asked about was around, you know, another piece, you didn't ask about this, but it's part of the thought process and part of the discussion that we had at the subcommittee meeting, was back in the fall of 2019, when this was initially brought up for study, I received a question regarding my concern and worry about the discussion resulting in, difficulty in terms of retention of staff. And I answered at the time that I was worried about that, and I continue to be worried about that. There is, and perhaps even more so as we think about next year, we have some professional status teachers who are very committed to Franklin Public Schools and working in the Davis Thayer Elementary School. We did see turnover of administrators. I worry about recruiting, again for next year. So that is a worry. And I don't want to get into too many details, but with respect to anticipated vacancies, I think could potentially face some difficulties in filling some of those vacancies. So that's a concern that I have with respect to kind of the future future operations in the school building. We have many professional status teachers who are committed, but we have seen this year in a few specific areas some difficulty in that, and I do anticipate that to continue the longer kind of that's prolonged.
Elise, are you set with that? Denise, did you have your questions answered? All set? I don't want to rush anybody. Okay, good. All right. So going back then, we have a motion and a second. And the motion is recommending approval of the retirement of the Davis Thayer Elementary School as discussed, as recommended by the Ad Hoc Facility Committee. So we will take a vote on that, a roll call vote. Jen D'Angelo.
Yes.
Tim Keenan.
Sorry, I want to make sure I'm track because I still feel new to the subcommittee. I know we're voting right now, but
yes.
Are we supposed to listen to community comments before we vote?
No, this is our week.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Process for me. I gotta get up to speed here. All right, I'm gonna vote no.
All righty, Judy.
Yes.
MJ.
Yes.
Denise.
No.
Elise?
Yes.
And Ann Bergen, yes. Motion carries 5-2. Okay. Dr. Ahern?
The second discussion action item on the agenda is the dissolution of the Ad Hoc Facilities Analysis Subcommittee. With their work being concluded, per your policy, a subcommittee gets established by vote of school committee, would also get dissolved by a vote of the school committee. So I recommend dissolving the Ad Hoc Facilities Analysis Subcommittee meeting as discussed.
Is there a motion to dissolve the Ad Hoc Facilities Subcommittee as discussed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion, comment? I'll just go through. Jen?
Thank you.
Tim?
No, just thanks for the work.
Yeah. Judy, anything else?
No, thank you.
MJ?
No, thanks.
Denise?
No.
Elise? And again, I just wanted to say an extraordinary thanks to Elise, Judy, MJ, for the thoroughness, hard work, and the profound respect for the process, abiding by school committee policy all the way, and Dr. Ahern for your leadership from that very first day, more than a year and a half ago when this journey began. I know it was emotional, it was tough. You had to make a very, very tough decision in a tough, tough time. So I just, again, on behalf of the entire committee, thank the work that you did. And Elise, your leadership, thank you. Did a good job. Appreciate it. So any further discussion? All right. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor of dissolving the Ad Hoc Facilities Analysis Subcommittee. Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
MJ?
Yes. And I forgot to say thank you to Elise for being a great chair.
She did a great job. Denise, sorry.
Yes.
And Elise?
Yes. Thank you.
And Ann, yes. Motion carries unanimous. Thank you again. Moving right along.
This is Steve Sherlock on another Franklin Matters radio show, number 458 in the series. Number 459 in the series. Number 460 in the series. This session shares the Franklin, Mass. School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, February 9, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a virtual format. All of the school committee members, central office personnel, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the just over 2 hour and 20 minute meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Annie Sullivan presentation, approximately 41 minutes. The second, covering the discussion action items, specifically referred to the Davis-Thayer closing discussion and vote, approximately 43 minutes. The third, from the discussion only items through to the end of the meeting, approximately 59 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold all the other documents released for this meeting. And note, as we go to press, the superintendent's report nor the pool testing outline are yet posted to the school's website. We anticipate that to be soon, but it's not here as we go to press. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of February 9, 2021.